The Holy Gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ, according to Luke. When the time came for their purification according to the law of Moses, Jesus' parents brought him up to Jerusalem to present him to the Lord. As it is written in the law of the Lord, every firstborn male shall be designated as holy to the Lord. And they offered a sacrifice according to what is stated in the law of the Lord, a pair of turtle doves or two young pigeons. Now there was a man in Jerusalem whose name was Simeon. This man was righteous and devout, looking forward to the consolation of Israel, and the Holy Spirit rested upon him. It had been revealed to him by the Holy Spirit that he would not see death before he had seen the Lord's Messiah. Guided by the Spirit, Simeon came into the temple, and when the parents brought in the child Jesus to do for him what was customary under the law, Simeon took him in his arms and praised God, saying, "Master, now you are dismissing your servant in peace, according to your word. For my eyes have seen your Savior, your salvation, which you have prepared in the presence of all peoples, a light for revelation to the Gentiles, and for glory to your people, Israel." And the child's father and mother were amazed at what was being said about him. Then Simeon blessed them and said to his mother Mary, "This child is destined for the falling and rising of many in Israel, and to be a sign that will be opposed, so that the inner thoughts of many will be revealed, and a sword will pierce your own soul too." There was also a prophet, Anna, the daughter of Phanuel, of the tribe of Asher. She was of a great age, having lived with her husband 7 years after her marriage, then as a widow, to the age of 84. She never left the temple, but worshiped there with fasting night and day. At that moment she came and began to praise God and to speak about the child to all who were looking for the redemption of Israel. When they had finished everything required by the law of the Lord, they returned to Galilee, to their own town of Nazareth. The child grew and became strong, filled with wisdom, and the favor of God was upon him. The Gospel of the Lord. In the name of God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen. Tamales and menudo are traditionally what is brought to the party on Candelaria, Candlemas, that is the feast of the presentation, that is today, in many traditional places. I learned about this from Bubba, who I worked at a feed store with. He said when he was back in his village in Mexico, whoever had won the prize, found the little clay baby Jesus in their part of the cake on Epiphany, had the pleasure and the duty of providing tamales and menudo on February 2nd. February 2nd really closes out the series of festivals that involve the baby Jesus. In the story of Anna and Simeon, of Joseph and Mary and the baby, we see observance of the Levitical law that a woman having given birth brings her child to the temple and there enacts a ritual of purification, not moral purification, simply laws that allowed her to recover from the birth and retake her place in the worshiping community. Many acts, many life events required ritual purification. Anything involving blood or bodily fluids. Remember the Samaritan who stopped at the side of the road? There was a man who'd been beset by robbers and left for dead. And a priest, at least, and a Levi said, "Oh no, I cannot touch that body which seems to be dead, for then I will be ritually unclean." Well, they didn't want to go through ritual purification. But here we are. Childbirth, even childbirth, however wonderful and beneficial, however painful or dangerous it might be, however joyful childbirth could be, called for this ritual. And the end of it was indeed a celebration. The return of the mother to society after weeks of isolation, with her health hopefully restored, and her child by now getting used to life outside the womb, among us, welcomed too. And there beside them was Joseph, almost an angel, protecting and comforting and covering and accompanying them. And there to greet them was a faithful widow, the prophet Anna, who had been at the temple many years. And Simeon, a devout and righteous man, who had been anticipating and awaiting this day. A child is born. A mother is returned to health. And yet more was happening this time, for this time the child was Jesus. Hail, thou long expected Jesus. Like Joshua, your namesake who led the people into the land of promise, Jesus, lead us into the future of promise, now becoming real. Hail, thou long expected Jesus, come to set your people free. What Simeon saw and Anna praised was the hand of God at work, bringing to his people peace. Peace not as the world expected it, not a magical transformation, but the simple peace of knowing and loving God in each other and ourselves. That's where it begins. The temple where they awaited the Savior was only a waiting place. Now they had to find the holiness they sought in the presence of God within each other and themselves. In obedience to the law of love came the fulfillment of the promise. The kingdom of heaven is like this. Parents bring a child to the temple where they are welcomed. The kingdom of heaven is like this. Fulfilling the role of the law brought them the Savior who freed them for love. Just a little child, boy in this case, circumcised and named 8 days after his birth, and his mother purified 33 days later. If you do the math, in our calendar, that's 8 days from December 25th to January 1st, 33 days more from January 1st to February 2nd today. Nowadays, we don't emphasize a ritual of purification as in the old days. In the old days, the title even was the churching of women after childbirth. Now, we pray a prayer of thanksgiving for the birth of a child. Now we add to the prayers our joy. The joy the parents felt that day in the temple, all parents should feel, along with, often, the dread and anticipation of sorrow that will pierce our own souls too. We yearn for the transcendent joy that comes knowing God has come to us, bringing no ordinary deliverance or transitory kingdom, but the eternal reign of grace, of hope, of love, of peace. But what does it look like today of all days, this year of all years? A kingdom of peace? A reward for patient faithfulness? I don't want to wait until I'm 84 years old. I don't want to work decade after decade waiting for this to happen, but people have and people do. The kingdom of heaven is upon us already, but not yet. And the waiting and the working, the soul-searching patience, and the steadfast love that we await from God seems far away and not close at hand, especially on some despairing days. We do see things of hope go away, but we also see what has always been faithful service continuing. Funding for social services, for example, can be fickle. Fickle whether from government or private sources. The migrant shelter Casa Alitas has shut down. But we see every day, every week, volunteer Samaritans venture into the desert looking for the lost. We met a woman named Gail who told us what it was like to do that for 14 years. But now she takes a break on Wednesdays because what happened, you may recall, there was a clash between two cartels, two gangs in Sasebe, Sonora. And Gail was there when people ran to the fence to come into the United States, and she pulled the fence back. And 1,000 people came running through. And that happened again the next day. Well, who got left behind was the dogs. So Gail would go down there every Wednesday morning and feed the dogs. Well, if you've had 14 years of looking for people in the desert, that's, you deserve a little bit of a break. And so that's an example of continuing steadfast faithfulness. Faithfulness endures. Some years ago in another country, in difficult times, more difficult than ours, a man, Dietrich Bonhoeffer, said to his friends, I think it was in a letter, he said, what's left at the ultimate moment? Pray and do what is right. Pray and do what is right. If we are that simple and that humble, we are on the right track. Prayer sustains us, keeps us connected to what matters. And without fanfare, rarely we can see far ahead, but usually we do know the right next thing to do, and by doing that, we move forward. The promise of ages that Mary and Joseph and Simeon and Anna held in their arms was fragile. A promise just coming into being, but a promise beginning something wonderful. And how does it end? In a scene beyond dreams, when that child enthroned in glory will say to the people who simply pray and do the next right thing, I was hungry and you fed me. I was thirsty and you gave me a drink. I was naked and you clothed me. I was lost in the desert and you sought me out. I was imprisoned and you visited me. I was sick and you visited me. I was captive in my heart and you made my soul free. Let us, in dark days or happy times, not lose the heart for joy or the patient faithfulness that is not ours to accomplish, but a gift to receive. Now, Lord, the fulfillment of the promise, let it begin with me. Amen.